Hi everyone, welcome to the workshop. I screwed up, okay, it took me very long. Okay, second sentence. So this is just an organizational meeting to sort of determine how we want to run things. And so we decided we would start with some round of introductions for everyone to sort of get a feel for who the other people are, and then try to sort of determine how to optimize the structure of the rest of the program and the talks. Okay, so for the introductions, okay. Okay, so for the introductions, let's everyone say what's your name, what's your affiliation, what's your sort of area of expertise, and what do you hope to get out of the program, in particular if there was sort of a question, a specific question that you would hope to crack in this program, what's an open question that you want to think about? And if you have any other sort of announcements or suggestions, then also feel free to say them. Okay, so I'm Veronica Hubeni. I am from UC Davis. I am one of the organizers, and I work in gravity and holography. And one of the questions I would be really intrigued to sort of pursue and hope to answer is what is the, in the context of holography, how does one think of the classical bulk space-time as emergent from the CFT? Does it emerge as a sort of a dynamical process? And is there something about the classicality reflected in the sort of entanglement structure of the CFT?
Okay, so I'm Fernando Brandão. I'm one of the organizers too. So the two organizers are Renato Renner and Stephen Jordan. So Renato will join us next week, and Stephen later on. So I work at Caltech. I work mainly on quantum information theory. And I guess one of my goals in this program is to understand how important quantum error correction is for physics outside really just building quantum computers. So this is very important for holography. So they are discovering that plays an important role there probably. I've been exploring myself in the context more of statistical mechanics and thermodynamics, but I think there are connections and I'd like to explore this more. Mark.
Okay. I'm Mark Bowes. I'm visiting scientist here and deputy director for your program. I'll say a few deputy director remarks after the introduction, so we don't interrupt the flow. Half of my career was in high energy theory, and the second half has been soft metal theory. So my current position is in Syracuse University, where we have soft metal problems. I'll skip the open problem since it's your program.
I'm Sean Weinberg. I'm a postdoc here at UCSB. And I work on holography and gravity and related things. And I guess what I'm interested in right now is to what extent recent developments in AES-CFT and its relation with quantum error correction and so on might carry over to more general situations of quantum gravity beyond AES.
I'm Nicole Yonder-Halpern. I'm from Caltech. I work on quantum information and thermodynamics and applications of those to other fields of science. And I'd like to make two announcements. One is there's a weekly women's lunch that happens on Tuesdays from 12 to 1 p.m. But it happens in the founders room, which is Would you remind me exactly?
Go along here, you go left and down this way.
Thank you.
From the library lot. There it is, you can see it.
Perfect.
Down the corner.
So I will be emailing out if any women or gender diverse individuals don't receive the email but want to be on the list, then feel free to let me know. Also, there are frisbee games, ultimate frisbee games that happen on Wednesdays. These are organized by Tim Sheehan, who's a postdoc here. They happen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. If you go towards the University Center, which is where you will probably buy lunch at some point, you'll encounter a giant green field, and that's where frisbee is going to be played. And I have a lot of questions that I want to answer, but one question that I might ask some of you about is, a few weeks ago, some of us were at a conference on quantum information and quantum gravity. John Fresco said one of the great opportunities in the field is to use tabletop experiments with condensed matter in order to shed light on quantum gravity. So I'm interested in how one might go about doing that.
My name is Jonathan Oppenheim. I'm from University College London. I mostly work on quantum information theory and quantum thermodynamics. I'm interested, especially in these 3 months, to focus more on quantum gravity and in particular black hole information loss.
Hi, my name is Michael Gordon, or Michael Wood. I'm from Technical University of Munich in Germany. I work on quantum information theory. There's not one direction, there are many directions, but usually you find them the words quantum channel in the abstract of my papers. And I work at the math department, so I'm more on the mathematical end of the spectrum.
I'm Shi Dong. I work at the physics department here. I'm interested in anything quantum gravity, quantum theory, quantum information. And in particular, right now, one question I'd like to solve is the problem of bulk reconstruction, how we can use ideas from quantum error correction to solve this in the context of ADS-CFT.
Okay, so I'm Gary Horowitz from the physics department here. I'm interested in gravitational physics generally and quantum gravity. I guess my goal for this program is to learn what quantum information is, to see what it can really tell us about quantum gravity.
So I'm Eva Silverstein from Stanford. I share that goal. I'm happy to see there's a lot of pedagogical stuff.
Yes, me too.
My research is a combination of quantum gravity, black holes, and early universe cosmology. And in both areas, there could well be connections to quantum information. We're finding more information in the primordial perturbations than we realized, which is exciting. So far using the traditional methods, but maybe there's a connection there. And in black hole physics, as already was mentioned, there's an information problem. We're finding long-range interactions that might help address it, so that's one of my goals.
I'm Steve Giddings, and I'm in the physics department here, and I've been thinking about subsystems in quantum gravity, the quantum structure of space-time, black hole information, and the general problem of quantum information transfer between subsystems, and so I'm looking forward to hearing as much as I can from the workshop. Unfortunately, a bunch of it is scheduled at the same time as my class here, so I may miss a fair amount.
Okay, my name is Bela Bawa. I'm at Station Q right across the street here. And my interests are topological quantum computation and quantum algorithms and tensor networks and entanglement and condensed matter systems. And if I had to come up with one question that I'd like to think about during this workshop, it's maybe if there's a what the right tensor network description or sort of geometry description, if you wish, of the many variabilization phase transition.
So my name is Ning. I was at Caltech, now I'm at Berkeley as of like a month ago, so I'm still in the middle. I guess I'm interested in many things on both areas, but especially the intersection of quantum gravity and quantum information theory, both the entanglement side and the more standard complexity side. One question that I've become interested in recently is, instead of using tensor networks as some sort of discretization or model of ADS space, where thus far they've proven able to reproduce many of the results of standard ADS CFT, I think it might be interesting to consider applying tensor networks to de Sitter space, where our understanding is much less well developed, and thus toy models could be in some sense more directly useful, because they could give us they could serve as, in some sense, conjecture factories that we can then see if we can test in full de Sitter space. Mm-hmm.
Sorry. I'm Chris Lauman. I'm here from Boston University, where I'm a quantum condensed matter theorist, I guess. I also think a lot about quantum emission topics, particularly in optimization, magnetic algorithms, dimensions to between spin glasses and quantum algorithms, things like that. I know essentially nothing about gravity, so hopefully, as almost everybody except for Dala, I think, who went around first said gravity, maybe I'll learn something.
Hi, my name is Xiao Chen. I'm currently a postdoc here in KITV. So I'm working on condensed matter theory, and currently I'm interested in quantum entanglement and quantum deformation and quantum chaos in many different systems. Currently, right now, I'm working on like some project related with a connection between the quantum Galois exponent and the random matrix, like.
I'm Philip Curry, also the looking at disordered filling systems, and mentioned learning about thermalization of these kind of systems and notions of chaotic state. What we can learn about the structure of quantum information in these systems.
I'm Robert Koenig. I'm also at the Technical University of Munich. I work on quantum information theory, quantum error correction, topological quantum computing. Yes, I would also like to learn more about gravity and quantum gravity. But in general, I guess what type of question. I mean, I'm interested in asking things like how good is a cold actually in practice.
I'm Tarun Gore from UCSD, and I work in questions on quantum information, quantum statistical mechanics, condensed matter. It's hard to categorize some things, but I'm very interested these days in how to think about chaotic eigenstates of local Hamiltonians. Can you write them down in some way, simple, so that representable in some simple form, and be able to calculate things using. Hard problem, but maybe in like some problems and some limits, and that's like, then you can probably think about quantum dynamics of chaotic systems using in certain limits. And but I'm in this program really interested in thinking about questions such as what's the relation between quantum chaos and lack of Fossi particles, the kind of stuff to be the internet, also questions related to complexity of states of local Hamiltonians, how complex they are, and what can condensed matter, and learning about, I mean, often there are things which are obvious to condensed matter people from local Hamiltonian point of view, but you can grab to think they're very mysterious or vice versa. So it happens all the time, and I would love to see what is, what are the questions in gravity, because I'm not from that field, and I want to see what condensed matter is. I did statements there which surprised me. It's kind of material stuff.
Hi everyone, I'm Sebastian Fischetti. I'm a postdoc at Imperial College London, and I work on gravity topography. Let me second G, Sean, and Veronica's questions, which all in some sense have to do with bulk reconstruction, either in ADCFT or philosophy more generally, but supplement those by saying that I'm becoming more interested in whether there are other ways of performing bulk reconstruction besides this entanglement that, you know, we've heard talked about for years. So in particular, I'm here to learn about other theoretic concepts or constructs like complexity or tensor networks that I don't know as much about. I'm wondering whether those can offer sort of complementary approaches to bulk reconstruction besides just entanglement.
I'm Cedric Benny. I work in Hanyang University near Seoul. I come from quantum information, and I'm generally interested in any method to derive an effective theory from a morphone of that theory, such as in the classical myths or minimalization, and especially in terms of the role that the fact that we have access to partial information plays in deriving the effective theory, rather than the macroscopic and I usually use tool to do with inverting a quantum channel, so error correction or inference to do this. And I'm interested to see how people think about this problem.
Hello, I'm Peter. I'm a graduate student in UCSD, and I'm working with Professor Tarek over here. Yep. So basically, Tarek just mentioned my first project. So basically, given the expression of the eigenstate in a chaotic quantum system, we derived gradient entropy, the universal entropy formula about that. And after that, we may want to study the dynamics given the expression of the eigenstate we mentioned in our paper. Yeah, we're going to finish my first paper. Yeah, and in this problem, I may want to understand something. Quantum information and the implication about the implication on condensed physics given by quantum information stuff, and also maybe the tensor network. Yeah. Okay.
So my name is Philippe Feist. I'm a postdoc at Caltech in the IKM group, the IGI group, I guess. And so I have two main interests. One is in quantum thermodynamics. More on the information theory side, so trying to use approaches like resource theory approaches or similar type of considerations to derive connections between thermodynamics and information measures, like the single-shot information measures like H-min and H-max, for example, or other considerations. And the other main interest I have is in quantum tomography, where I'm interested in deriving practical and reliable methods for parameter estimation or state determination, or whatever the measurements you took can tell you about whatever state you had in your system. So, yeah.
My name is Iman Narvia. I'm a postdoc at MIT. I'm interested in quantum information and computation theory, and I work on different topics in this field. I'm here to learn more about applications of quantum information theory in quantum matter systems and quantum gravity.
I'm Max Rota, I'm based here, I'm a postdoc at UCSB. I'm interested in general in quantum gravity, holography, and quantum information, in particular in the connection between them. And for this workshop, I'm also second very expressive that have already been suggested by quantum interaction, by Sean, Xi, and Sebastian. Question about transfer of information between subsystems that Steve mentioned, and also something that Veronica mentioned about the classicality, how the classicality is encoded in the boundary, for example, in the ADCFT, and whether the emergence of this classicality in particular is connected to some dynamical process in some big couple system.
My name is Achilles Patriadis. I'm a postdoc here at UCSB. I'm interested in everything that has gravity in it, so both classical and quantum gravity, from holography. I also know nothing about quantum information, so I'm interested in seeing if there are main results that are applicable to, in particular, the quantum information, the black hole information.
Okay, so I'm David Bernstein, one of the faculty people here at UCSB. You're working on ADCFT since one of the big puzzles is to what extent The CFT side telling us something really new about quantum gravity on the other side. That was the problem of boundary construction back when, et cetera. But the big question is there something really weird out there that we can just, where quantum information can shed some light on that?
Victor Albert, I recently started a postdoc at Caltech. I was from Yale originally. My experiences with open quantum systems and continuous variable quantum error correction and quantum control. I mean, it'd be stupid of me not to want to learn a little more about gravity, especially at a place and time like this. Particularly, I guess, maybe more a blue collar topic, how to use, where is the quantum memory in the SYK model? How can you apply it to the code? Also something I don't have a good understanding about for some reason is the quantum error correction criteria for noiseless subsystem codes. I've seen two versions, but I'm only beginning to read about it, so maybe want to wrap that loose end up as well.
Hi, I'm Anisha Chandran. I'm from Boston University. So I'm broadly a condensed matter theorist with interest in quantum dynamics, disordered quantum systems, normalization, applying entanglement measures to understand condensed matter systems. So I would love to learn more about both quantum. I don't know much about quantum gravity or about quantum information. I'm here to learn about those things and the connections. But one other thing that I'm, one angle that I'm coming from that I'm sure I will learn something from in this workshop is to use the use of entanglement in condensed matter systems has shed a lot of light on phase structure and how to think about quantum phases in condensed matter systems. And I just want to learn about other information theoretic measures that might help more in this thing.
Hi, I'm Deshaun. I'm a grad student from Stanford. I work with the Eva. And I'm interested in quantum gravity, string theory, and black holes, and I want to learn quantum information and how it intersects with those things.
I guess I'm the last person. My name is Tom Ayala. I work at Microsoft Research and Gravity, close relationship with the GQ here. My expertise lies on the quantum error correction, actually, and probably more general information. My ongoing hard problem is how to produce a new strong variance for topological good systems. There are plenty of examples coming from error correcting codes. I find that problem to be hard. And I'm actually giving a tutorial session on the problem error correction. And I guess a lot of here wants to hear the tutorial on the error correction has never on the gravity. So what you wish to learn, and then I that will help me to prepare the. This is a great opportunity for me to learn more about the program.
Wonderful. So thanks, everyone. So that's before we decide what is it we want to do, how we want to run this. I guess Mark can tell us a little bit of the logistics so that we can get a real operating.
Yeah, sure. I must say, I like the idea of blue collar quantum.
That's great.
So I'm the deputy director for your program. So my job is to help you make this as successful as possible on the science side. So there are a few organizational things that are useful. There's a wiki for your program, and you should all have gotten an invitation to join, to be members. If you haven't, you can let me know, or Fernando has volunteered to be the wiki master for now. Okay. So he's the first option. Go to him first for any wiki questions. It's quite useful. Well, I remember also you can email everyone in your program by emailing qinfo17, just have to remember that the years and at kitp.ucsb. So if you want to reach just people in the program, you can do that. On the wiki, there are various things. The most important is
talks and discussions. So the coordinators, particularly Fernando, will keep that up to date with what's going on in your program. The staff upload the talks to the KATP weekly schedule by Friday afternoon. So the coordinators finalize that wiki by Friday at noon, and Claudia's staff person handling that right now, she looks at that and loads it onto the weekly schedule, which is good because people, for example, now the intertwined program is going on, it's three more weeks. So there could be quite a lot of overlap or people interested in that program attending your talks or discussion and vice versa. So we tried to make the intertwined talks, like that talks in the auditorium Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. They have a 2-hour block, so we try to make the talks, one starts at 1 and one starts at 2, so that if you only want to go to the second one, you don't have to wait till the first person finishes, which often happens when they, you know, if you have like 1 and 1:30. So we try to make that so that maximizes your opportunity to go to talks and the other programs. Only the you can edit stuff on the wiki, except for talks and discussions. Only organizers can do that. Anything else you can do, you can use it however you want. You can put in a research profile, your web page if you want. You can put reference material. Sometimes people add reference material for their talks, so they don't have to go over it in their talk or after the talk if something comes up. There's a social activities page, and you guys are still looking for a social coordinator. So someone will get volunteered to be the social coordinator, most likely. So that person will be in charge of your social programs. It's pretty easy now with the residents. A lot of people in the residents, there's like two patio areas for barbecues, which is a popular social activity. But there are lots of other things to do here. So you can take advantage of that. It has a list of all other things you can do, suggestions and so on. The members are all listed there and so on. I want to make a couple of other announcements. So one thing to keep in mind is that KATP has a new kind of program called follow-on program. So that's designed, you'll get a notice, everyone will get a notice about it after your program is over. But I'm mentioning it now because, first of all, it's new, not everyone's aware of it. And it's designed for 2 to 6 people to come back for a short period, like 2 weeks, 1 week, 2 weeks, to continue collaborations that started during your program, or start a collaboration that, you know, you sort of conceived it here, or you think you know, work on something and someone else in the program is knowledgeable about that, whatever. You can write a proposal for a follow-on program. Come back in 2 weeks with a group of collaborators. So you'll get information about that from the on the KAGP program manager, David Koshirovsky, who's down there in that corridor. There's a wine and cheese tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Every day there are refreshments at 3:15, except when the quarter starts on Tuesday, which is no refreshments because there's the physics colloquium that day. So if you're desperate for coffees every day, you can get a physics colloquium to get your refreshments. But otherwise, there won't be one here. I think that's everything I wanted to say. So just contact your coordinators, contact me. I'm pretty much always around if you have questions or things come up. So here to make things, your science get done as best as possible. Okay? Any questions? Good. So I'll pass it to the coordinators to outline all the conceptual things that are going to be done in your program.
Okay, thanks. So we have 2 official seminars per week. We decided to expressly keep the schedule, the official schedule light. There's the Monday organizational meeting, where hopefully we'll determine what to do, what we want to be doing in the Wednesday and Friday slots. So there's a Wednesday and Friday afternoon slots that are designated as a discussion. And we can sort of experiment around to determine what is, or just determine now, what's optimal for us. What is it? How do we want to structure it? So we thought that with Fernanda that this coming Wednesday, it would be very useful just to collect a more detailed set of questions, open questions in all the various subfields that the workshop, that the program is sort of contains. And hopefully from that, maybe designate working groups or, you know, sub-themes, which we might then evolve into either discussions or some more involved sort of working group that's more than a discussion, but a larger sort of collaboration. And for myself, I'm not entirely sure what will turn out to be optimal. So this is for all of us to sort of collectively decide. So this Wednesday, I would ask, you know, all of you to think about what are the sort of main outstanding questions in the various fields, and in a moment we'll list the topic and the sort of subtopics just to orient things. And then take it from there. Decide on Friday whether we want to already delve into one of these things, or we want something sort of more elaboration on the questions. So as far as I see, the spectrum of possibilities is, you know, pretty wide. I sense that many of you are very interested in sort of tutorial-like, set of very pedagogical lectures to bring you up to speed and whatever is complementary to your expertise. And so we can structure things by, you know, starting with lots of these sort of pedagogical, sort of little mini crash course in the various topics. And we have tried to make the seminars very much pedagogical for that purpose, but many things will require more than just a seminar. So that's one option. Another option is to have, for example, if we want to collate what people have done, what's the progress in a given area, maybe we want to do a bunch of, you know, bone-show-like mini talks or a discussion led by a few coordinators or discussion organizers, and each of them give a short talk and then invite discussion. Or we could just have a really communal discussion without anyone giving any sort of a talk, but just a straight-out spontaneous discussion. So I'm hoping that by the end of this, we'll start getting, at least by Wednesday, we as the coordinators will get a sense of what you guys prefer. Okay, so that's the set of options for our talks. From those of you who have been here at many of the programs before, can you think of anything else I missed in terms of the spectrum of what types of things we could be doing in the discussions?
You want to mention the time?
Okay, so actually on the wiki, as well as on the program, on the KITP workshop schedule, there's already slots, but all of the slots are hour and half. The seminars are meant to be hour plus the half hour discussion. And then the discussion sessions also are hour and a half slots. So the seminars are Tuesday, Thursday, 10:30 to 12. And the discussions are Wednesday, Friday, 1:30 to 3, with the cookies being the natural cutoff. Pardon?
So for the seminars, we only have 2 weeks, so not too many. We only have scheduled for the first 2 weeks. We will have tutorials, four tutorials, and probably we have a few other tutorials. But we'd like your input on, you know, which topics, who should speak, and what's the interesting topic. And so please come to us and give us suggestions.
In terms of these two programs, and they were intertwined in this one with the
is if we attempt to make the no overlap between them. I think you probably
for the organizational meeting or
no for the actual seminars.
So far that is the case. So the intertwined.
Yeah, this week I see that.
Oh, so it's going to be fixed.
Okay, great.
Till the conference. So our fund after in fourth week of our program there will be the conference.
Right, but I attend.
And after the conference. It will be the resurgent guys that will replace the intertwined guys.
Right.
And so then we have an opportunity to see what happens. I mean, if we want to do something differently. So if we want, if the schedule is for some reason not working for us or the format is not working for us, we can, for those of you who are here, we can sort of change things around. But so far, the only thing that overlaps with the intertwined program is the organizational session.
Yeah, that's not the job.
And well, the discussion, our discussions overlap with the.
Sure.
May or may not.
May or may not. Yeah, okay. So then, I guess before getting to the topics, well, so there are the other talks from the in the intertwined program. There's also departmental. Talk. So, you know, the departmental colloquium is Tuesdays at 4. Since many of you are interested in learning about gravity and so forth, I guess the department has, there's an internal and external high energy seminar.
We've deliberately decided not to schedule too many additional seminars this fall because of all the activity happening at the KITP. There will be occasional talks, either a Tuesday lunchtime seminar or a Thursday 2 p.m. seminar that we will occasionally organize in the general area of high energy theory and gravity. And those will be announced probably on the KITP website when they're scheduled, but they won't be every week this fall.
Any other local activities that we should know about from the locals?
So I had a question slash concern about the one of the suggestions, which is that I guess because a lot of people are here not for the entire time, mm-hmm. but are coming for chunks, including some younger people that may or may not be here now, it might not make sense for all of the tutorial. All of the tutorial-like discussion sessions to also all be put at the beginning, because then if someone is coming, say, around the start of October, who is not familiar with one or the other field, then they might be thrown a little bit in the deep end. So I was wondering if there was a way to make it such that the organization of the discussion sessions could be a little bit more smoothed out across the entire duration.
Well, what would you suggest? What would anyone suggest?
Well,
I mean, they are recorded.
Yeah, they're all online. Yeah. So somebody who comes in halfway through the program can go back and listen to any talk that happened before to get caught up if they want.
Yeah, but okay. But what I might suggest is that because there's 2 days, maybe one of them could be more pedagogical and the other one can be more focused on any given week.
In the discussion. Sure. We can try to mix and match. There's also, I should say, that you're all welcome to organize other things that are not in the designated time slots. I'm sure there will be a lot more activity than just this, you know, 5 intervals in the week. And then you can let Fernando or me know, and we can put that on the wiki as well. So we can say, well, let's have a discussion on this and that topic in the founders room, and whoever is interested just can show up.
The converse of being able to see recorded talks is if there's a pedagogical session 3 weeks later and some people are leaving in a week or two, then they will be able to see it.
Yeah. It's certainly better to have the beginning to get up to speed.
But anyway, we have the tweaks. There will be like 4 tutorials. Might have for another week, but it won't be like that, right? I don't know how long we're going to do that. Then that you can also tell us if you keep doing them or if it's like, well, after these 2 weeks that they already scheduled, then we can discuss it if you should have more or not.
Okay.
I suppose there may be someone coming like beginning of October would be particularly good for a tutorial that you haven't had.
So, right.
Yeah. So,
well, we're certainly be very opportunistic in terms of the participants' expertise. So on non-physics side, there were this, Mark mentioned various social activities. So one thing we are very important that we're looking for volunteers is a social coordinator. Okay, there can be more than one. It doesn't have to be someone who's here the entire time, just anyone who's sort of enthusiastic. I think all the locals have access to the KITP the residents. I don't know how much were people actually using it. I think all the locals have right to go and use.
No, we don't have keys to the KITP residents. No.
Participants and other
participants.
All participants.
Whether or not the locals are participants, they can come there.
But it's very easy. There's always someone going in or out. The age of cell phones, you just text somebody, you know, that they're doing this. There's students on the desk nearby, you can bang on the door and say, I'm a participant. But you need to get in as one of these, all of you in the residence will get one of these. And so you don't have this right, Gary.
I don't have
Steve.
One.
Yeah, no.
Well, they give us two of them here. They give us two of them. I got a few little things. Yeah.
Doesn't the website say that all the
things?
Yeah, I think postdocs get it.
Postdocs get it, right? Okay.
I don't know what you mean. That's what postdocs do.
Okay, so we should determine, I mean, if that's an issue of not holding something at the residence, we should figure that out soon. I mean, if there's an access issue or something like that. Otherwise, my question was that it's a very convenient spot for many of these activities. So,
but the issue is we need some coordinators, please. So if you think you can do it, let us know. If not, we might force some of you to do it. Maybe more like two or three people would be ideal. But it's very easy. So the job is basically send emails from time to time for barbecue in the residence. So that's the main activity. If you want to do something else, great. You can go for hiking or maybe the beach and so on. But this barbecue, I think, they are the easiest thing to do, and they'll be. And we heard from the other programs that they work well, so we should try to follow the tradition. So think about it and let us know.
We can also organize dinners outside if that's preferable too.
Yes.
But is there a volunteer now?
Yeah, there'll be someone else volunteer now.
Mobile.
All right.
Okay, one other volunteer that we will meet is also as part of the social activities, but very time limited, is the KITP picnic on October 4th, and there will apparently be a soccer match, so somebody should volunteer to get the team for the soccer.
It's between us and the other program, so we need our right? So like this.
Yeah.
Right.
The last is the referee.
Right.
To show just how important it is.
If you're sharing now, then try to muster up the courage by Wednesday. Okay, so let's go to the physics, so we can talk about the topic.
How much time do we have?
Excellent.
Should we take that off? Right, so.
And then you can continue.
Our idea was to meet on Wednesday for some open questions, right? And then we hope you give us interesting open questions. But now we'd just like to list some of the topics that we'd like to cover in this program. And So we weren't sure how to list them, so we came up with 5 topics where you're like actually writing the proposal for the program. But you see there are a lot of connections between them, and it's not clear why you should choose them and not something else. So you can also change this now. But we thought one of the interesting things we like to focus is, so it's all about, right, the connections of quantum information science with other branches of physics. So we would like to go both ways. We would like to see how tools for quantum information are useful to study in other areas of physics, but also the other way around, how you can get either inspiration or motivation from other areas of physics to advance fields in quantum information like algorithms or complex theory and so on. So like do both things. So one area which is by now old and very successful is understanding entanglement in many body systems, in many body quantum systems. And here probably you put, well, there are a bunch of things you can do here, right? But some of the interesting we heard here, we can talk about tensor networks. Let's try strong correlated quantum error. We can talk about here maybe like. Both boundary correspondence, not like gravity, but only on like condensed matter system. Topological order and so on. Right, so there's a bunch of topics, and we would like if you would give us some open problems on this on Wednesday. Then, so here, right, the idea is okay, we want to use our understanding of entanglements to either build new axes for quantum many-body systems or to understand them in a better way, in a quantum information way. The second topic is more of the opposite. So there are two areas that are very important in quantum information. So one is quantum algorithms. Right? So we hope to have a quantum computer one day. We might have some rudimentary quantum computer very soon with like 50 qubits, no error correction. We have to understand what to do with them, right? And what to do with them, we want to have good applications for them, quantum algorithms. And this is also, since a long time ago, a great source of problems where quantum computers might outperform classical computers is in physics, either simulating quantum physics or just get inspiration from quantum physics to come up with new quantum algorithms for other problems. So one example is, there's this example where studying topological quantum computing, this leads to a quantum algorithm for approximating the Jones polynomial, right? Or there's some other examples where people want to come up with good quantum algorithms for quantum search, and they saw that the way to do that, like when you have a two-dimensional grid, the way to do that was to use Dirac equation. So there is a bunch of these examples. So even if the connection is not explicit, it's something that we want to develop in this program, see whether for quantum gravity or for condensed matter physics, we have new ideas for quantum algorithms. And we want to understand limitations as well. So this is quantum complexity theory. And there is also this sometimes called Hamiltonian complex. And the idea here is, well, first you want to understand for which problems quantum computers won't give an advantage, right? So that they are too hard. For example, empty-hard problems, we think quantum computers cannot give a speed up, substantial speed up. But also a spin-off of this gives a new way of looking at many-body physical systems, but from the point of view of the computational complexity of them. So like one of the things that we learned is the one-dimensional quantum models, critical ones, when they do not have a gap. You might expect they are much simpler than general problems, but in the general case, but using these kind of tools from reductions and computer science and so on, you can show that they have the same complexity as the most general quantum Hamiltonian that you can think of. So one dimension doesn't give you simplicity, which was a surprise. but then there is a bunch of other physical stuff you can put, and then in DB get simpler problems. So you like to understand this, right? So computer science comes from one angle. They want to construct the most adversarial Hamiltonian possible, which is as hard as it gets. Then it can come people from condensed matter and other fields, and they have all these heuristics that work well, but we like to meet between, really understand what makes the problem hard or what makes it easier from a computational point of view. I think there's a lot to talk about this. Then one was the third topic, it was... Oh, right, yes. So some people mentioned this, right? I didn't have to write one. So this, there are a bunch of people interested in quantum dynamics here too. So that is just to, okay, field dynamics, usually think about very large systems, right? And some notion of cost going in there. But basically because of, well, there's all these old issues on, for example, understanding how you do erasure when you're in a quantum level, right? And that to do computation usually, it costs work unless you do it in a reversible way. So it's all these works that predate quantum information, but that led to a lot of ideas in quantum information. Now there was kind of a renaissance in trying to apply just ideas of quantum information to understand field dynamics better, and also to understand it on the nanoscale. And there'll be a lot of discussion about this as well. The same thing happens with statistical mechanics or like foundational statistical mechanics, how we can use entanglement to understand better formalization, equilibration, and so on. So I think there are interesting questions there. Then the other one is quantum gravity, particle all over. So most of us are interested in this, right? It seems. I'm not an expert, so maybe Veronica can. Okay. Say a few words about it.
I mean, with the advent of the ABS-CFT, we have all these hints that somehow entanglement, or at least entanglement entropy, seems to have connections to the bulk geometry, which is quite mysterious. But more recently, this has been put on sort of more detailed footing to sort of even more mysterious. And so I think. I mean, there's at the slogan level, ER is equal to EPR, saying that, well, entanglement somehow builds bridges, or actually is the thing that's behind the existence of geometry dynamics. It's a proposal that would be certainly nice to sort of unearth. And the questions that many of us were mentioning in the earlier part. What is it that sort of builds up the space-time? So the holography of ABS-CFT is very well positioned to address these types of questions, because at least we do have a definite correspondence. We still don't understand the mapping as well as we need to understand, sort of answer these questions, but it's the most promising framework. You can generalize it in various other ways.
Yeah, and the last one, quantum foundations. So here, well, there's a bunch of things you can study, but so for example, Bell inequalities, right? They're crucial in quantum foundations, and they have interest in many of these other areas. But in quantum information, we see them more like as a resource, right? So if you violate the Bell inequality, you can do interesting things. You can do like device-independent cryptography, or you can extract randomness, sensifiable randomness from quantum systems, and so on. So there is a new take on Bell inequalities from quantum information. There is also we will have some participants that are interested in quantum decoherence, right? And I think there is interesting question quantum foundations about them, like measurement problem and so on. They also might have some relevance in gravity, so maybe there'll be a nice interchange here, exchange of ideas between these two. And also one thing that we like to, the quantum foundation meets quantum information, that there'll be people here interested in this area, and it's an interesting area for everyone, I think, is can we understand quantum mechanics in a more information theoretic way, right? So we have this axiom of quantum mechanics, you all learn, they're very abstract, they work well, of course, but they're abstract. Can we rephrase quantum mechanics, but more in an intuitive way using information theory, right? And there was a lot of development lately. Maybe we'll hear more about this in the middle of the program when the experts come, but I think this will also be one of the goals. So it's very ambitious, right? It's a bunch of unrelated topics. I mean, but there's a common theme here, and I hope you can come up with some interesting questions, like any of them for Wednesday. But before that, do you want to suggest anything else, or should we merge some of them, or what is your view on this classification?
Where would you place quantum error correction?
And yeah, I was thinking about that.
Resource theory.
Right, so resource theory is how you connect quantum field dynamics, right? It's also connected to entanglement, so I don't know, it should be a different topic. Here should have put quantum error correction, right? So here's kind of what we, quantum information theorists, can gain from the rest of you, right? And there is a history of success in quantum algorithms, in quantum complex, but also in quantum error correction, right? So understand topological order, let's sort of, right? So the best goals that we have, basically. And hopefully, right, maybe we can understand better gravity, we can come up with better codes, right? So quantum error correction codes, so that'll be something interesting. So maybe, anything else?
I guess questions on quantum memory also in that way would you put them?
Like a self-correcting quantum memory?
Yeah.
Probably be here, right? Because it's something that physics can convince better. Physics already, even quantum gravity can tell us a lot and be very relevant for building a quantum computer. So that's a question. It's been a long-standing question whether you can have what you call self-correcting quantum memory. This is like quantum memory, which we don't need active error correction, but just because of the dynamics there, it's stable and stays there in quantum information. Classically, we have this. It's just a magnet, right? So, you know, we can our computers, we don't need error correction because they never crash, and that's because a magnet is such a good classical error correcting code, but we don't have the same thing quantum. Well, we don't know if we have. We might have. In four dimensions, we have, but we don't know if we have three dimensions. In two dimensions, we know that probably we don't, most likely don't. The open question is three dimensions. So that's, maybe we should have a talk or something on this topic. I think it's a good topic that might interest many of us. Anything else?
There's a toolkit, I mean, operator algebras.
Right, yeah. We can learn some math, right? Some that it's for even operator algebras, yes, it might be. But it's more on the tutorials, right? Yes. You can either email us, suggest for tutorials or talks, or you can just talk to us if you want to hear from me. Yes.
When you talk about quantum algorithms, quantum foundations, and maybe quantum thermodynamics, that's quantum mechanics, not quantum field theory, right?
Yes. You don't need quantum field theory for that, right? You can just talk on the level of quantum mechanics. But of course, you can consider quantum foundation, the context of field theory, if you want to, right? But we haven't done it so far. So, indeed, so far it's just like
just
quantum mechanics, even like finite dimensional quantum mechanics, and then we consider the coherence or Bell's inequality and so on. Field dynamics is the same. It's been really on the level of like qubits and so on. But maybe, I mean, a next step might be considered field theory, right? And see if there are interesting questions.
Right, there's interesting questions.
Yeah, I don't know if there are
formal field theory and the relation to gravity. So I'm just wondering, to what extent are these quantum information ideas known in say, like formal field theory?
I see. So you say, like quantum field dynamics, for example, that there are, in which of these topics? Or all of them?
Well, I mean, I'm just, in terms of making applications to the line four, which is what I'm most familiar with,
yes.
I'm just wondering to what extent the quantum information ideas are developed for.
It's really interesting that some of the topics would be a really good idea to kind of develop for quantum field theories.
I see, but they're not yet.
I mean, some of them are, but a lot of them aren't. So I think there's like a field of research for.
I think this has been studied for, right? Entanglement quantum field theory now is well developed, right? But Quantum dynamics, probably not. I don't know. Yes.
A possible bridge is that a lot of the quantum thermodynamics experiments have been with quantum optics, and that involves field theory, so could provide something of a bridge.
Recently, there have been a few papers trying to define complexity in a quantum field theory.
All right, Rob Myers and
a few others.
But for example, at the foundational level, Bell's theorems and so forth is not very well developed.
Not a lot, right? Yeah, there is some discussions, right? Maybe there's room for it. Yeah, like if you're from quantum gravity, you know, they have interesting questions that like are here or here, any others, we'll be happy to hear on Wednesday.
I mean, at the level of quantum algorithms, I guess there's this work by Preskill where they talk about how difficult it is to simulate a quantum field theory, or how powerful a quantum field theory is as a quantum computer. So there is discussion at that level also. And that's very common.
I mean, conversely, we're not used to thinking in quantum field theory context of something that mocks up a measurement. It seems a really useful thing in quantum mechanical systems that everything that people, much of the formalism that's developed somehow uses.
Well, certain kinds of interactions behave like measurements.
Right.
So, in the QFT.
Well, that's right. Both quantum mechanics and QFTs are descriptions of what we do.
I mean, there's a lot of commonality, right? You know, a lot carries over to QFT. It's just you have more degrees of freedom.
So see you all Wednesday for
the talk first.